This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We say hello and welcome to Live Bet Sunday as it rolls on here on this Sunday evening on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you for joining us wherever you may be. Sirius XM, channel 158, on the VSiN Watch app, on YouTube TV. You can put us in your multi-view with your live Major League Baseball, perhaps the PGA Tour, or whatever wets your whistle in the sports landscape on this Sunday night. And we thank you for being here. I am Ben Stevens. 4 hours of fun as we end out your weekend and set the stage for a new week. Preseason, week one of the National Football League comes to a close yesterday. We'll get your week one preseason reactions throughout these 4 hours. And of course, most importantly, what it means for betting the NFL landscape ahead of the 2026 campaign. We will talk about the games that we have live in Major League Baseball. Just about a month and a half remain in this regular season. A critical series atop the National League playing out for the fourth and final time this weekend at the Ravine inside Dodger Stadium between the Brewers and the Dodgers. Tarek Skubal's third start as a Dodger, his second inside Dodger Stadium. Milwaukee looking pretty good right now, trying to extend its advantage atop the National League standings. We'll talk the wild card races that are playing out as we speak. The San Diego Padres continue to be one of the hottest teams post All-Star break in the major leagues. All of that and plenty more, updating those live wagering opportunities as we have them here on VSiN. And of course, we will get you ready for a college football season. The preseason AP Top 25 unveiled tomorrow at noon Eastern time. We will scream, we will yell, and we will dissect what it means for 2026 in college football. We've got a loaded guest slate for you here in these next 4 hours. Five guests in 4 hours to give you every angle and every bit of insight that you need to be the smartest sports bettor and sports fan that you possibly can. Colby Conway will join us at the bottom of this hour, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, to preview Sunday night baseball, a divisional duel between the Houston Astros, who have a two-game lead entering this Sunday slate atop the American League West, against the Seattle Mariners. Colby will join us to talk Sunday night baseball, his impressions of this Sunday afternoon into the early evening hours around MLB. Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Analysis will join us at 7 p.m. Eastern time to set the stage league-wide in the National Football League ahead of 2026. An hour after that, 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Eric Froton, one of the best in college football, the premier college football fantasy analyst for Yahoo Sports, will get you ready for all of the players that you need to know, whether it's a fantasy angle or just looking at the Heisman Trophy race, how Eric Froton is seeing the 2026 college football season. Ryan Reynolds will join us for the week one aftermath from the NFL preseason, the positional battles across the league you need to know, and of course, what it means for 2026. I understand the preseason is not for everybody. I would argue there are edges to be had in betting NFL preseason games. We'll talk to Ryan about that exact idea. And our final guest, but certainly not last, not least, Craig Peterson at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. The host of the Baseball Betting Show right here on VSiN will react to what we saw on this Sunday around MLB and, of course, give you those early edges in the first look at a Monday slate around Major League Baseball. Every team within their final 40 games of the long marathon that is sprinted, 162 in the bigs, an additional wrinkle of importance for some as they are trying to chase a postseason spot, whether that be a divisional crown or just a wild card spot. And things are getting funky in both of the leagues. The Chicago Cubs trailing by a lot right now, 11-2 at last check in the rubber match against their bitter rivals in the St. Louis Cardinals, but still holding a large lead in the National League wild card standing. Six games in front of the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Philadelphia Phillies entering today. The Snakes were looking for a road weekend sweep against the Atlanta Braves. The Braves hold on this Sunday finale to win 5-3. The Phillies get the better of the Twins to end out a series that began in Dyersville, Iowa, in the Field of Dreams game. Philly has not been great in the last 2 weeks or so, starting to find their footing once more. And as we share, the Padres have basically been the best team in the National League since the All-Star break. The Cubs right there, the Atlanta Braves right there in that conversation. But right now in Cleveland, the Padres with a 3-0 lead at this very moment. San Diego dropped 5 of its first 7 games after the All-Star break. San Diego has now won 16 of their last 21 entering this Sunday. The Guards have been the second worst team in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break, 9-20 entering this Sunday slate, only the Athletics worse than that. Let's get you caught up on all the scores that we see. St. Louis no longer up by 9, but still leading by 8 in the ninth frame at Wrigley. 11-3, the lead for the Cardinals as we speak. The Cubbies, though, were a hefty favorite entering this game, up around a $1.80 price at minus 180. Total was 9 inside the friendly confines today. That, of course, is skied to the over. Yesterday, history in Major League Baseball. In a long and illustrious history of this sport, Joshua Baez, called up from AAA Memphis for the Redbirds, hitting a home run in each of his first three Major League Baseball career at-bats. So, yeah, that is history for Baez and St. Louis. The Cards north of 500, probably not going to see a wild card spot in the National League postseason just because of how competitive this has been. But the Cardinals entered this year with a win total of 68.5. I know it because I bet the under after an offseason of sweeping changes in St. Louis. Nolan Arenado gone, Contreras gone, guys like Brendan Donovan shipped away, Sonny Gray, the same story there. And yet St. Louis continues to just be a winning baseball franchise, finding it in spots like a guy called up from AAA who, in front of 30 of his family members, hits a home run in each of his first three Major League Baseball at-bats. Joshua Baez powering St. Louis yesterday. The Cards powering past Chicago as we speak, as we head to the home half of the ninth. Again, the Cubbies in an 8-run hole. A matchup of the two worst teams in the National League, both from the NL West, the Colorado Rockies and the San Francisco Giants, a rubber match by the Bay that in the sixth inning, the Rocks have a lead 8-7 over San Francisco. Colorado not the favorite entering today. Pretty close price. San Francisco around minus 120, minus 124. The Rockies right now with the one-run advantage in the top of the sixth, minus 238 on that money line. Live total is 18.5. There has been 15 runs scored between these two. Total of 8 has already been matched by Colorado for the game overall. San Francisco has poured in 7 runs, so well over that number as well. Sunday Night Baseball, a divisional duel in the American League West between the team in first, Houston, with a 2-game advantage over Texas, their in-state and divisional foes. Of course, the Astros tonight taking on the Seattle Mariners, who have been one of the largest disappointments of this Major League Baseball season. A few outs away from their first ever berth in the World Series, they get beat by the Toronto Blue Jays in 7 games in the ALCS, of course, resulting in the Jays winning the pennant and then taking the Dodgers to 7 games in a World Series as well. But since the All-Star break, Texas has not been great either. 4 games sub 500, 12-16. They were swept by the Stros a couple of weekends back. So Houston at this moment, that 2-game advantage. Texas still in a wild card position if the season ended today, currently in a tie for that third and final spot alongside the Baltimore Orioles, who have taken the first 3 of a rare 4-game set that will end on Monday at the Trop against the Rays. And Tampa entered this weekend against the O's on their second 9-game win streak of 2026. And yet it's Baltimore who has now won 3 straight. Texas right now in Sacramento against the Athletics, 2-2 the score there. The A's an ever so slight live money line favorite. In Anaheim, the Kansas City Royals putting on the finishing touches to the Halos. Ryan Johnson, who has been okay for the Angels in August, only a single earned run allowed in both of his outings. Noah Cameron, sensational today for Kansas City. Cameron pitched earlier this week in Southern California against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Gave up 4 against the Dodgers in what was Scooble's first career start inside Dodger Stadium, at least as a Los Angeles Dodger. But outside of that, Noah Cameron in his first 2 road starts post-All-Star break, scoreless, had not allowed a single earned run. 8 innings today, only a single base knock, and no earned runs given up. 7 punchouts against the Halos as well. So let's turn your attention to Dodger Stadium, a critical game, and I mean critical, as much as it can be in the middle of August for a 4-game set between 2 teams that faced off last year in the National League Championship Series. Of course, it was the Dodgers, not even with home diamond advantage, taking all 4 very quickly in a sweep of Milwaukee, but critical both because of the narrative entering this Sunday at the Ravine and what the results would indicate for the National League postseason bracket. As I'm looking right now, currently home half of the 7th, runner on first, it is Andy Páez. Max Muncy put a charge into one
to left and then slipped getting out of the batter's box. Looks like he is walking back to the dugout right now for LA. So okay there, because Max Muncy has continued to be captain clutch for this Dodgers team. The lone run scored by the Dodgers today was a solo blast from Muncy, his 132nd in his Dodger Stadium career, the most ever hit inside Dodger Stadium, which opened back in 1962. But that unable to do anything with Andy Páez on first. Again, narrative entering today, Tarek Skubal making his third start as a Dodger, his second in downtown Los Angeles against a Brew Crew team that, of course, by reports, was heavily interested in the Skubal sweepstakes ahead of the Major League Baseball trade deadline. But they did not really get involved. One of the reasons some have reported is because Milwaukee was unwilling to part ways with their starter today, who got the better of Skubal in Logan Henderson. His second year in the bigs, he has been sensational in the 11 starts that he has made for the Brew Crew, a 6-2 record entering this game inside Dodger Stadium with a 2.88 ERA. Henderson, seen by the Detroit Tigers, much like a River Ryan or Emmett Sheehan, ended up being for Los Angeles. A guy who has Major League Baseball experience, still on the younger side under club control. Henderson out-dueling Tarek Skubal at this moment, who exits this game after giving up two runs against the Brewers. The reason this game is so significant, Milwaukee enters today with a two-game lead for the best record in the National League, 2 in front of Los Angeles, 2.5 in front of the Atlanta Braves. This is the 7th and final regular season meeting between the two teams that played in the NLCS last year. The Brewers win today. They lead by 3 now in the home half of the 7th. They have a 3-game lead, and they take the tiebreak against Los Angeles. It would be 4 wins for the Brewers and only 3 for the Dodgers in this regular season series. We will continue to react to what we are seeing around Major League Baseball and, of course, this game in downtown Los Angeles between the Dodgers. The Dodgers trying to rally here after they stretch in LA. And we are just getting going on Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN.
Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live Bet Sunday, right back at it here on VSiN. We were just talking about the significant series finale on this Sunday between the Brewers and the Dodgers in Los Angeles. 4th and final of this weekend set. The Dodgers hoping to eke out a split, 2 games all, and take the tiebreaker in the 7th and final regular season meeting between Milwaukee and LA. The Brewers have different ideas. They lead by 3-4-1. The Dodgers were greater than a $1.80 favorite at home today. Why? Because Tarek Skubal was making his second home start as a Los Angeles Dodger. But in this matchup against the Brewers, it has been Milwaukee. And it's been a guy that was rumored to maybe be involved in some trade packages if the Brewers wanted to get Tarek Skubal and his services at the deadline. Logan Henderson, the youngster, has been great for Milwaukee today. Just completed the 7th inning, has only allowed a couple of base knocks, 3 to be exact, and a single earned run. He entered today with a 6-2 record, a 2.88 ERA. Dealt with a back strain that when he returned in June, or really since the start of July, he's at a 2.97 ERA. He had given up 2 long balls apiece in each of his last 2 starts, 1 today to Max Muncy, but that's been the lone scoring output for the Dodgers. If you're looking at reasons why Los Angeles is leaking a little bit of oil here down the stretch. Now, they still have an 8-game lead in the National League West. They entered today with the 2nd-best record in the National League. The defense has not been nearly as good. A negative field value rating, according to Baseball Savant, in the month of August. The Dodgers had a 5 or above in the first 3 full months, that being April, May, and June in Major League Baseball. So that's been a struggle. It's how the Brewers scored their first run of the game, an error on Tommy Edman. But it's also been a Dodger offense that has not been very good, especially at home. They have not really had an offensive explosion in the last 2.5 weeks. The Dodgers had taken each of their first 4 series post All-Star break. Then they started a marquee weekend around trade deadline weekend against the Boston Red Sox. They got swept by the Sox. They got swept next up in Wrigley by the Cubs, even with the excitement and the fervor of the acquisition and the blockbuster deal to get Tarek Skubal. The Dodgers were not playing great baseball. They got beat by the Arizona Diamondbacks last weekend, losing 2 of 3
out in the desert. The Dodgers responded with a three-game sweep of KC, where the offense showed just a little bit of life, at least enough to beat the Kansas City Royals, who are one of the worst teams in the American League. The question for many, I reside here in LA, in Los Angeles, was going to be the Dodgers against the team they swept in the NLCS a year ago en route to winning their second consecutive World Series championship. Would we see the same offensive returns against the Brewers? Not necessarily. The Dodgers have not scored more than four runs. They are in danger of only putting up one run in each of the final two games of this set and losing the series 3-4 to Milwaukee. The Dodgers had the best offense in baseball by WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, just basically how good are you at putting your offense in position to plate runs and then ultimately, of course, win baseball games. A 113 was the WRC plus for the Dodgers through July 30th. That was the first game against those Boston Red Sox, who of course were on a heater when they headed to Dodger Stadium to take on Los Angeles. Since that point, since the start of the series against the Sox, the WRC plus for the Dodgers has dropped by 25 points from 113 to 88, which is 20th in Major League Baseball, 11th worst, if you will, bottom of the barrel for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Not what this lineup was assembled to be. One of the main reasons, if you look at the stories of this series, could in fact be Kyle Tucker, who is 0 for 3 at home today. He is 0 for his last 19. Inside Dodger Stadium, Tucker had a hit in all six of the road games for Los Angeles before they started the series earlier this week in Kansas City. The groans have been loud here in the City of Angels for the $60 million man, who at home has a 192 average this year. On the road, it's 275. The OPS is 533 at home. It's 840 away from LA. Something about being inside Dodger Stadium in his first year making $60 million has not been all that kind to Kyle Tucker. The other issue has been the back end of the bullpen and Edwin Diaz since returning from the nano needle surgery, in which he missed 2.5 months in his first year in Dodger Blue. Blew the save against Milwaukee on Thursday night in the opener, his third blown save in four tries. He did bounce back with a save, albeit a slightly shaky one, on Friday against the Brewers. So those have kind of been the stories, the guys the Dodgers invested in to chase that third World Series, to become the first National League team in the history of this sport to win three consecutive World Series rings. And those big money players have been the biggest disappointments for LA. Again, the Dodgers were a $1.82 favorite to enter this game with Tarek Skubal on the bump. It is Milwaukee right now leading by 3-4-1. It's a 2.5 run line favorite and -1220 on that money line. The San Diego Padres not closing in on the heels, but have a chance to lessen the deficit in the National League West to only 7 games if they can hold on in Cleveland. They are currently leading 3-0. This game got delayed early on with some rain. They have come back. Bases are juiced currently for the Padres, and that's been the story for San Diego. The best baseball in the best offensive baseball since the All-Star break. Again, 16-5 are the Padres since dropping 5 of their first 7 after the All-Star break. Gavin Sheets, a solo home run, and Casey Mize has been lights out in his third start as a father or as a San Diego Padre. 5 innings today, only 3 base knocks, scoreless so far against Cleveland. As we look elsewhere around Major League Baseball, the Royals again putting the finishing touches on the Los Angeles Angels today in Anaheim. 3-0 the lead currently for KC. Noah Cameron, sensational in this matchup against the Halos. If you see Kansas City in the final month plus of this regular season in the bigs, and you see Noah Cameron getting a start on the road, he has only now allowed 4 earned in his last 4 road starts, and those 4 earned all allowed to the Los Angeles Dodgers earlier this week inside Dodger Stadium. We were delayed for a while in PNC Park between the Buccos and the Boston Red Sox. We are back, bottom of the 7th. Pittsburgh leads by 4-7-3. They jumped out to a 7-0 lead. Boston responded with a 3-run home run right before that rain delay. It is now 7-3, runner on first for Pittsburgh in the bottom of the 7th. Of course, at the trade deadline, heck, at the All-Star break, those Buccos had aspirations to reach the playoffs in Major League Baseball for the first time in more than a decade. Pittsburgh post All-Star break, 10-18. Looking to win the weekend against the Red Sox. These two teams have split the first 2, but not great stuff there. Of course, we have one final game that is yet to start on this Sunday slate in MLB. That is Sunday Night Baseball in Houston between the Astros and the Mariners. Houston, the third best record in the American League since the All-Star break. 16-10, the mark for the Stros. It is Hunter Brown for the hometown team in H-Town, taking on Brian Wu, who was an All-Star last year, has been disappointing this year, has been really good in his two outings in the month of August. 12 innings of scoreless baseball in two starts for Brian Wu so far this month. Again, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will have a guest on this show to preview Sunday Night Baseball. That'll be Colby Conway, here to get you set for this divisional duel on Sunday night. The importance for Houston now with a two-game lead in the American League West. We are also throughout this show going to talk a ton of college football. Eric Froton will join us a little bit later on around 9 p.m. Eastern time here on Live Bet Sunday. He is one of the best covering college football in general, especially from the fantasy football perspective collegiately. And if you're talking the best players in the sport, that leads to the best results in the sport. Heisman Trophy races, so on and so forth. I gave out a Heisman Trophy bet in the College Football Betting Guide here on VSiN. Because college football season is almost here, we're under 2 weeks away. Week zero, 2 weeks from yesterday, and it's an awesome eight-game slate on week zero. And betting it blind is a losing strategy. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, free with VSiN Pro. It is previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. We will discuss a play that I gave out in the College Football Betting Guide a little bit later on this Sunday night. Here we are on August 16th. We're midway through this month. We are under 2 weeks away from college football. We're under 4 weeks away from the National Football League. We just got through week one of the NFL preseason. August is a month of football. And that bet that I gave out in the College Football Betting Guide on VSiN focuses on the Mountain West and a coach in Albuquerque in Jason Eck, who has already made history for the New Mexico Lobos in his first year last year with UNM. And I expect similar returns, if not even more success, wink, wink, a conference championship for the Lobos in 2026. We'll detail all of the reasons why. And of course, you can find that in the College Football Betting Guide as well. We are in the bottom of the eighth in Los Angeles. The Dodgers still trail by three in a critical game against the Brewers. If Milwaukee wins, they take 3 of 4 in LA this weekend, up their advantage to 3 games in the National League in front of the Dodgers, and they would have the tiebreaker. We'll get you set for Sunday Night Baseball up next here on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Right back here on Live Bet Sunday, and quickly an update to our live action. The Los Angeles Dodgers trailing by three with one out in the home half of the eighth. Teoscar Hernandez gets on base. Hunter Fiducia, the backup catcher, gets Teo over to third. He is safely at first. Runners on the corners, one out, and I do believe Pat Murphy is making a call to the bullpen as the Dodgers have flipped things over back to the top of the lineup, and that means Shohei Ohtani, who is the tying run at the dish. Milwaukee leads 4-1 right now. A huge series this weekend in Major League Baseball, of course, with big postseason implications that we will discuss with our next guest. It is Colby Conway joining us here on Live Bet Sunday on the Progressive Guest Line, MLB analyst for FantasyAlarm.com. Colby, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for being here on VSiN.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
We will talk some big picture Major League Baseball, of course, set the stage for Sunday Night Baseball in Houston that starts in just under an hour from now. Colby, if you will indulge as we discuss the Dodgers and the Brewers here. I think we are seeing in the last 2.5 weeks or so, even after acquiring Tarek Skubal, some chinks in the armor, so to say, of the back-to-back reigning World Series champs in LA. As you look around the National League post-trade deadline, who do you believe is the biggest challenger to the Dodgers in winning that third consecutive pennant?
Oh, man, it's tough when you look at the landscape because everyone's thinking it's going to be the Dodgers and everything's going to happen there. I got my eyes on the Brewers. When it comes down to it, I thought they could make a play for Skubal when the deadline came into play and just go into every series there in the playoffs with the Miz and Skubal right there at 1-2. It'd be tough, but Milwaukee's got a lot of good pieces. The offense is good enough. So I'm really looking at Milwaukee, I think, is the biggest contender to the Dodgers. But with the Dodgers, we've seen it all along. We can talk about the phantom IL stints or anything that they want to use. None of these months matter to the Dodgers. They know they're going to be there come postseason. Their eyes are on October. It is just do whatever it takes to get to October with everyone healthy and ready to roll. August does not matter. July doesn't matter. For the Dodgers, it's all about eyes on October.
The Dodgers still the World Series favorites in a very short capacity, as they have been all year long, plus 175, still a slight minus money price to win the National League pennant at minus 105. Aaron Ashby into the game for Milwaukee, I think still has the most wins in Major League Baseball, despite being a relief pitcher this year. Might be Christopher Sanchez who has overtaken him, but it's been absolutely ridiculous. Colby Conway joining us here, fantasyalarm.com, at Colby R. Conway on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. Colby, that's the National League. Of course, the Dodgers still atop the hierarchy. We're going to see a little bit of how this all plays out on Sunday Night Baseball in the American League West between Houston and Seattle. When you look at the AL right now with how hot the Red Sox have been basically since the start of July, the Rays, despite losing three in a row to Baltimore this weekend, have been great throughout the entirety of this year, and the Yankees still there at the top of the odds board as well. What's your view of the American League here in the middle of August?
It's the same as it was at the end of July and early August. I wish that the White Sox would have done something more on the mound than Luis Castillo, of all people. We'll talk about him a little bit later, I hope. But I would have loved to see the White Sox do something. They are a team that I think could have made a lot of noise. And it's not to say they don't have enough arms. Luis Castillo was just about as underwhelming of an acquisition at the deadline you can get. Unless they're planning on playing the Reds every single time, he's going to be very hit or miss. I don't really trust him in that rotation. So I would love to be on right now saying, hey, White Sox, that's the team that it's going to be. But I just don't know if there's enough arms there for them to make a run for it. So as you look around the American League, I like the Rays a good bit. And I guess maybe one of these teams in the West can do something, although I'm not really buying much stock into it. I'm not ruling out the White Sox. I just, again, as of about 2 weeks ago, my thoughts are the same. I just wish they would have went for a bigger arm.
Yeah, I will be cheering on the Chicago White Sox in the American League postseason. I'm not sure the pitching is going to hold up. Davis Martin has been brilliant at times this year. Sean Burke has been very good. The Tigers were swept by those White Sox this weekend in Detroit. Chicago now has a 5.5 game lead in the American League Central. We'll see what happens when October comes around. Quickly, Colby, just to update, Shohei Ohtani grounded into a double play to end the inning. So Ashby comes in, gets the job done. The Brewers take that 3-run advantage into the ninth and final inning. Our final game of this Sunday is in Houston between the Astros and the Mariners. Sunday night baseball, minus 119, the price for the Stros. Hunter Brown expected to get the start for Houston. Brian Wu on the other side for Seattle. How do you start your breakdown for the Mariners and the Astros on Sunday night baseball?
Yeah, we're going to look right at the guys on the mound, and Hunter Brown's obviously been a very good. He's an ace-like pitcher, struggled at times a little bit this year, but the big thing that I'm really looking at here is Brian Wu's home road splits are just too much to ignore here. Sub-2 ERA at home, ERA north of 6 on the road. His strikeout rate drops about 7%. If you look at pitcher strikeout percentages for the year, when Wu pitches at home from the strikeout perspective, we're talking Chase Burns, Jesus Luzardo. That's where he is in terms of his strikeout rate. But when he's on the road, it's Michael King and Shane Baz level. Like, he does not miss bats on the road. Astros offense has been very good of late. They are not striking out at all. Mariners do have the upper hand on Houston so far this season, but Mariners not great on the road. So what I'm really looking for in this one, I like the over the runs in the first five innings. I think both teams are going to get after it, especially with Houston getting after Wu. But then also, I'm not on the Wu train tonight. So the ones I like the most, Wu under 5.5 strikeouts, Wu under 17.5 pitching outs. And again, I like that over in the first five.
Brian Wu has been really good in the month of August, but was not very good basically for the entirety of the year. 7-8 with a near 5 ERA at the end of July. Brian Wu, who was an all-star for Seattle in 2025,
hasn't necessarily looked that way this year. We were talking big picture in the American League. The Astros, because of how great they have been, Colby, post All-Star break, you mentioned the offense, it's the third best WRC plus basically in the last month in Major League Baseball. They've got a two-game cushion now in front in the American League West. Do you have any belief, confidence, trust perhaps in the Astros to make a run this upcoming October?
I would say if we can get the best version of Hunter Brown, I think so. There's reason to believe they have literally the best professional hitter on the planet this season. And Yordan Alvarez, Cam Smith has had an exceptional month of August. Last time I checked, Carlos Correa hasn't been fully blocked from returning at some point this year, even though it would be later. The Altuve kind of train is done there. So I think there's enough. I don't know if they're a legitimate threat to come out of the American League. I think they can make a little noise in the postseason, but in terms of them representing the American League, I don't think there's enough horses in the pen for that.
Yeah, I would agree. Hunter Brown, since returning in the middle of June, has been pretty solid. 2-2, 4.25 ERA. They look for a little bit more out of him. He has earned a decision in four of his last five. Just looking around the American League in terms of those odds right here, right now, the Houston Astros have that third best price behind both the Yankees and the Rays. Now, speaking of the city of H-Town, Colby, I do see behind you a lit up Houston Texans logo, if I am not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Do you believe, booked as the favorites as we speak entering 2026, that the Texans will accomplish that feat, winning a divisional crown in the AFC South this upcoming year?
Yep, under D'Amico Ryans, they're set to do it here in 2026. I like them to win the division. Actually, one of my favorite bets in the AFC South is actually the Jaguars. I think last time I looked, it was 3.5 division wins for the Jags. That's one of my favorite bets there. But I love Houston to come out of the AFC this season. If I put my biases aside, it'll be a bit of a task. And I know it comes down to the offense. That defense is ready to go. No question marks on that defense. You don't even need the offense to be good. You need the offense to be maybe a half step above league average. And the Houston Texans are going to be a problem in 2026.
Yeah, the Texans a favorite in the AFC South as we speak at +110. Will Anderson Jr., Derek Stingley Jr., all coached by D'Amico Ryans. This is a very loaded Houston team, winning 12 games last year, that can certainly rely on the defense to do the same. Colby, have you taken a look early at any of the Monday numbers in Major League Baseball for the slate that we have upcoming? Anything catch your eye late here on this Sunday ahead of a Monday in the bigs?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple here that I looked at. And of course, whenever you go to Wrigley, you got to keep an eye on the wind. So as we're looking at it, things are going to change. So look at it closer to tomorrow. But I just, you know, kind of trashed Luis Castillo a little bit earlier, because unless he's facing the Reds, a lot of question marks about him. So looking tomorrow, I'm in on the Cubs to beat the White Sox. I like the over for the Cubs team total. Again, anything against Luis Castillo is going to have my eye. And if you want a home run bet in that one, Miguel Vargas, Shota Imanaga has had some problems keeping the ball in the yard. And as long as the wind's not blowing in at Wrigley, Vargas has been really, really good against lefties. So I'd be looking at him tomorrow. And then if you want another one, go to Philly. Christopher Sanchez, dominant at home. Jansen Junk, not very good for Miami. Hasn't been very good. He's got problems with lefties, and that's not good when you go to face this Philadelphia lineup. So there, I like Philly across the board tomorrow. I like him to cover. And then if you need another home run bet, Kyle Schwarber will take Jansen Junkyard at some point in that game.
Sunday night baseball tonight. Baseball games tomorrow on a Monday in MLB. It's what Colby Conway does. MLB analyst for FantasyAlarm.com joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Colby, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here as well. So, just to update what is happening in Los Angeles, Kyle Hurts still on the bump for the Dodgers. One out gone in the top of the ninth, but Shohei Ohtani again spoiled. Runners on the corners, grounding in to an inning-ending double play. Brewers, a 4-1 lead as we speak. Plenty more around the bigs when Live Bet Sunday returns.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
Now, I don't have the sound on as we are here together on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, but I am watching the Dodger game against the Brewers in Los Angeles inside Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers are down by 3-4-1 right now as we speak. Kyle Hurt on the bump for LA. Was trying to get out after a couple of good innings of relief to keep the Dodgers within that three-run striking distance. High fly ball, too deep right, going back on it, Kyle Tucker, not at a full sprint by any means. And as he nears the wall, ball goes off his glove, dropped, bad play, error on the right fielder for Los Angeles. So now the Brewers have runners on second and third with only one out. Should have been two outs gone in this ninth inning, keeping the Dodgers down by three in a critical game against the Brew Crew. Instead, it is Jake Bowers up at the dish for Milwaukee, who already has multiple RBIs in this game, has been a Dodger killer this weekend. He is 4-for-4 today with three singles, a double, and two RBIs, and helping Milwaukee build this three-run advantage in front of Los Angeles. I am sure the boo birds of those that are still in Dodger Stadium are out in loud form for Kyle Tucker, who is in his own house of horrors. He has been awful this year inside Dodger Stadium. For what reason, I'm not so sure. He has been so bad inside Dodger Stadium, he was held out of the lineup yesterday against Jacob Mizorowski. And Dave Roberts is one of the most honest and transparent managers, perhaps even coaches, that you will hear from basically day in, day out in Major League Baseball. He himself said yesterday, there is something to these home road splits. It is facts, it is numbers, it is statistics. You cannot deny them. Again, he's not entirely sure what the mentality is for Kyle Tucker, but something is not working. A 192 average for Tucker this year inside Dodger Stadium. It is a 275 average away from home. He's got two home runs and 17 RBIs in Los Angeles. He's got nine home runs and 37 ribbies away from Dodger Stadium. And a costly error out in right field for the Dodgers today. They're probably going to lose this game regardless, but it's not a good look for the $60 million man. It's one thing to be bad. It is one thing to be below average for a team that has won two consecutive World Series. But when you were brought over to quell any ills or harms the Dodgers might face in trying to make history and win a third consecutive World Series championship for $60 million, the highest annual average value for a Major League Baseball contract in the history of this sport, and this is the performance, every bit of booing, every bit of heckling, every bit of poor play that is pointed at you, you are worthy of it because $60 million is being invested into you. If Kyle Tucker was making $500,000, you probably couldn't get mad at the right fielder that is making errors and batting 190 now at home, 0 for his last 17, by the way, 0 for his last 19 at Dodger Stadium this week. But when you're paying that guy $60 million, even slightly above average would be preferred at this moment. Now, the good thing for Kyle Tucker and the Dodgers is they will have the opportunity come October to change all of the narrative around him so far in his first year in Dodger Blue. It has not been a great 2026 for Tucker. Elsewhere around Major League Baseball, with our final scores today before we get to Sunday Night Baseball, again, first pitch scheduled for around 4:20 p.m. Pacific, 7:20 p.m. Eastern, in Houston. The Padres continue to hold on to a 3-0 lead in Cleveland. This game was delayed for a while. Casey Mize has been brilliant in his third start as a Padre. San Diego has been brilliant since the All-Star break. They dropped 5 of their first 7. They are now 16-5 since, hoping to make that 17-22 with a victory against the Guards, who would drop to 9-19 after the All-Star break, which is why Cleveland has fallen out of an American League wild card spot. The Rockies taking it to the San Francisco Giants, 13-7, the lead for the Rockies in the eighth inning. Pregame total by the Bay was 8. They have gone over that themselves, has Colorado. San Francisco has also scored 7 runs. We've got 20 in total, live total 20.5, as we are about to get ready for the top of the eighth between the Rockies and the Giants. Just to update some scores that have gone final since we had Colby Conway on the show, the Pittsburgh Pirates, after a lengthy weather delay inside PNC Park, hold on to take the rubber match and the weekend
against the Boston Red Sox. 8-3, the victory. Of course, Boston, after going on that ridiculous 32-5 tear that featured a 15-game win streak, which matched the best in franchise history for those Sox, has cooled down ever so slightly. They dropped 5 or 6 in a row. They had, though, won three of their last four entering this series finale against Pittsburgh. The Rangers fall in Sacramento 5-2. The Athletics, who have been the worst team in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break, 7-20, knock off the Rangers, who now fall to a 12-17 mark after the All-Star break, currently 2.5 behind Houston for that first place position in the American League West. And Houston can add on to that to make it a 3-game cushion if they do beat the Mariners on Sunday Night Baseball. The Orioles have won 3 straight. They will play a 4th and final game of a prolonged weekend set at the Trop tomorrow against the Rays. They now have a half-game lead because of Texas losing for the 3rd and final American League wild card spot. Jack Dreyer in, by the way, for Los Angeles, trying to keep this as a 3-run deficit for LA, just allowed 2 runs to be scored. I believe it was Hamilton with a couple of RBIs for Milwaukee back up the middle. Oh, no, it was a ground ball to Tommy Edman. Infield in, ball should have been played. That Dodger defense, oh boy, on a short hop. But yeah, that's a play a major leaguer has to absolutely make it. Second, Tommy Edman had an error earlier in the game that resulted in the first run being scored. This Dodger defense really struggling in the month of August. So now 6-1 the lead for Milwaukee. As we shared, the Cardinals win big in Wrigley 11-4, and the Royals do blank the Angels in their series finale in Anaheim 3-0. Noah Cameron, a complete game, one-hit shutout featuring 8 Ks. Noah Cameron, who allowed 4 earned in his most recent start on Monday in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Outside of that, has not allowed a single earned run in his 3 road starts after the All-Star break. Some handicapping for the future. If in the final month plus of this regular season, you see Noah Cameron getting a start on the road for Kansas City, there's a good chance the Royals have a good shot of winning that game. We are here in the month of August. It is a football month. We had a huge slate of preseason football yesterday and all throughout the weekend. Preseason week number 1 is in the books, and entering the preseason opener for the Minnesota Vikings yesterday on the road in MetLife against the New York Giants, Kevin O'Connell ended the quarterback competition in the Twin Cities. He named the first-year Viking, Kyler Murray, the starter. Kyler started yesterday against the G-Men, led a scoring drive on his only possession of the game, 2 for 3, 10 yards, looked pretty good. Here's how Kevin O'Connell detailed his new starter for the Vikings and his first reps in a Minnesota uniform.
Kyler's done a great job from an above the neck standpoint, being able to handle it. That was really our first time off the play clock, you know, working like the sideline to quarterback communication, his command of the huddle. There was a lot of really positive things that we saw out of that first group, and it, you know, 8 plays, it took everything in me not to, you know, keep him out there. But we kind of got a lot of the things we wanted to see out of that group, you know, done. And obviously, a big week with the joint practices. Those guys will get a ton of work between Wednesday and Thursday.
Only a couple of throws for Kyler Murray yesterday in his first start as a Minnesota Viking. But you heard it right there from Kevin O'Connell. The in-game communication, just making sure the operation looks smooth. That's why Kyler Murray has been named the starter in front of J.J. McCarthy. 8.5 is the win total for the Vikes. The over has a slight bit of juice at -120. Minnesota has the longest price in the NFC North, greater than $5 at +510. But if the team that is currently predicted to be the last place finisher of 4 in a division is also favored to win 9 games, it shows you how difficult this NFC North division is expected to be in 2026. The Bears, and last year, of course, alongside them, the Packers, were playoff teams. We expect the Detroit Lions to get back to that threshold this year. And if Kyler Murray can figure it out under Kevin O'Connell, one of the brightest offensive minds in this sport, and he has a lot of tools at his disposal, still namely the best wide receiver in the game in Justin Jefferson, there's a lot to like. We have seen Kevin O'Connell take some quarterbacks that even were backups for him, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, and elevate them to a higher level. It is what Kyler Murray is hoping for after his first 6-7 years in the National Football League in Arizona. Most people think sports betting is only about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea. Match betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with a free guide at ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN. And use promo code VSIN, again, VSIN, for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. That's what Ungambled delivers. I think they might tell you to go over 8.5 wins for Minnesota this year. We'll continue breaking down the National Football League as we continue here on Live Bet Sunday into our second hour up next.